This is a Hipsters of the Coast podcast. This Doom Travelers podcast is brought to you by Hipsters of the Coast, your destination for magic news, strategy, and entertainment. And by Casthaven, where you can build your magic collection like a pro. Visit casthaven.com for more information.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Doom Travelers, where we talk about magic and play Destiny. We're hanging out here by Xur, the Agent of the Nine, who is currently selling Red Death, but Matt and I are too poor to afford it. If only we had a hoard of coins like Dragonlord Silumgar. This week we'll be talking about Dragons of Tarkir, the fully spoiled Dragons of Tarkir. Our second look at all the cards in Dragons of Tarkir with a look towards time travel. Time travel being the crux of this set's story, having gone from Khans of Tarkir to Fate Reforged to Dragons of Tarkir. So on the topic of time travel, let me introduce my companions here, Guardian Matt the Obliterator Jones, and Dave McNasty McCoy, and I'm your host, Rich Stein. So Matt, what kind of parallel timeline, in a parallel timeline, what would Xur be selling to us?
Oh my God, Gjallarhorn. He would just be selling Gjallarhorn, that's it. And it would be really, really cheap, and it would be great.
For those who don't know, Gjallarhorn is one of the game's most powerful rocket launchers. The last time Xur sold it, Silumgar was not an elder dragon yet. I could put it to you that way. And Dave, in an alternate parallel timeline, what would Xur be selling us?
Well, he'd definitely be selling you No Land Beyond in all slots. He would
Land Beyond.
No armor, no other weapons, just 5 No Land Beyonds. And the engrams always decrypt into No Land Beyond.
No Land Beyonds. Oh man. I like to think in a parallel timeline he'd be selling like something completely different. Like he'd be a food vendor.
Like he'd be the upgrade material vendor.
Yeah, like agent of the food service truck.
Agent of the hot dogs.
But he would look the same. He'd be
agent like of the brine. That's what he is.
He'd be like a food truck driver.
He would definitely sell sushi.
Sushi. There you go. Yeah. All right. Let's go queue up for some Crucible matches and talk about time travel. Ooh. All right. So, the story, of course, in Dragons of Tarkir, Khans of Tarkir, is that Sarkhan Vol, one of our favorite planeswalkers, comes from a world where there were once dragons and they all died. And the reason they all died was because Nicol Bolas is a bad dragon. And he killed Ugin, the spirit dragon. And because Ugin died, all the other dragons died. But then Sarkhan traveled back in time and prevented Ugin from dying.
He sounds so convinced by this story.
Sorry.
Highly believable.
I was choking on the tropes. no, but it's you know, for Wizards' first ever kind of crazy time travel story, I think it was fine for them to stick to a pretty standard pattern of world is broken, travel back in time to critical point, fix critical point, come back to the world unbroken. Hence the name Sarkhan Unbroken. But I want to talk about not Sarkhan, but the other Khans, our five favorite characters from Khans of Tarkir. Anafenza the Foremost, Narset the Enlightened Master, Sidisi the Brood Tyrant, Xurgo the Helm Smasher, and Suric Dragonclaw. All five of them made it, in card form at least, to Dragons of Tarkir. Not all of them survived, however. Anafenza and Sidisi both are dead. Anafenza is a spirit that serves as a white weenie commander. And Sidisi is now a zombie speaker for Silumgar. Zergo, while not dead, has been quite humiliated. He is now responsible for ringing bells to summon dragons to battle. And that leaves us with Narset and Sirach. Sirach, formerly the puncher of bears, has become the puncher of dragons. So I have to imagine that that's an upgrade. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the headhunter.
Yeah. He's the chief hunter for the Atarka clan. And last but certainly not least is Narset, the former Khan of the Jeskai, who helped Sarkhan. She is now a planeswalker in her own right.
She's been sparked.
She has developed a spark in this alternate timeline, which is pretty exciting. Makes you wonder what other characters may have sparked in an alternate timeline. But here we are. We got our five cons. So this is the parallel universe of Dragons of Tarkir. You guys happy with what happened to the cons due to Sarkhan's action?
I actually think it's really just interesting. I love like when DC has Infinite Earths or Marvel, whichever one had that, and there's like different Spider-Men that do different things in different worlds. I just think that stuff's always so interesting because you always get so narrow with characters because they have a canon and they have to, you know, be a part of it in the same way forever. So while a bunch of dudes are nerfed, or I feel really bad for Zergo, but I think everything's really interesting that they did this.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see kind of a reimagining of characters that we've kind of grown to know. I mean, we only knew them for a short time, but they all had such exciting stories shared with us. And it was really cool to see those stories develop in Dragons of Tarkir, and now those characters are gone. Yeah. But they're replaced by characters that are similar but different. And that's a really great way, I think, that Wizards tackled showing us that the world had changed, but that we're still in the same world, right? We haven't traveled to a place that's so vastly different, even though saving Ugin had crazy impacts on the world's function. Like, everything that happens in the world changed. But the characters are kind of the same. And if you read one of the Uncharted Realms, even had Ankle Shanker re-envisioned as someone, as a goblin who battles with Dragonfire, right? Those vials of Dragonfire.
Cool.
And that's really cool, right? Because you got these same kind of ideas, right? Because you got this goblin who battles fiercely. And in one parallel universe, she's this crazy knife-wielding megalomaniac of a goblin. And in the other, she's a dragon breath-wielding megalomaniac of a goblin. So the core of the story is still there. But the details change ever so slightly. And that's kind of happened all over the place.
And it's awesome. I think all that stuff's cool. The only thing that I don't like, I don't like that when dragons exist, that means that everything is sad. Like, meandering tortoiseshell is the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life. But I feel like cons, everything, like all the cons are kind of badass, except for Zergo, but even Zergo gets cool, to be a good 2/2 one drop in red deck wins. Right. That is a deck. Like, it's still not the worst thing ever.
See, I actually think that's one of my favorite things about this time travel story is they went back and they changed the past to what Sarkhan wanted it, but it wasn't necessarily a good change for the rest of us. Like, the dragons are back and Sarkhan's super pleased about that, but a lot of characters we care about got screwed over. And honestly, Tarkir kind of seems like a worse place.
Definitely a worse place.
It's interesting, is it though?
Silumgar is a better place for the dragons.
I mean, it seems a lot more vicious.
Yeah,
like the true Tarkir was like very warlike and just not very peaceful. But I mean, here it just seems like everybody's vicious and ruled by vicious dragons that are going to kill them if they don't obey. You know, like, it doesn't seem like much has changed in terms of the ruling situation, but it seems like everybody else is just more miserable than they used to be.
It's tough. I get the impression that under the rule of the dragons, the world is in a better place, because it seemed like in Khans of Tarkir that they were battling an unsustainable war, and that they were just pillaging and raising the planet while fighting this war with each other, and that it was pretty much going to end in mutually assured destruction. Now, I have a feeling that the Tarkir story with the dragons back doesn't end in mutually assured destruction. But that's a story that's going to have to wait for this return to Tarkir block, I suppose.
Which I think will definitely happen, because the blocks are going to be going so much faster now.
Yeah. I don't think it's a question of if we're going to get a return to Tarkir. It's really a question of when.
Yeah. For sure.
But I want to talk a bit about what Matt, you mentioned, meandering tower shell. And the tower shell, of course, is a great example of another aspect of this time travel story, which is cards from Fate Reforged being accelerated over 1,000 years into the future, to the point where we see them as they are today in the Dragons of Tarkir version of the present. And that's a really exciting thing. And the tower shell is an example. The river guy, the river stalker.
The river prowler.
Who became a skeleton. There's a Yeti card that they reprinted. That's a 4/3 Yeti. And they just straight up reprinted him from Khans of Tarkir into Dragons of Tarkir. And the difference is the artwork has dragons. The artwork and the flavor text changed. And that's it. They just added dragons to the artwork and the flavor text.
Same thing with Tormenting Voice, which is actually a pretty awesome change, because now it's, instead of Sarkon being tormented by Ugin, it's Ugin being tormented by Nicol Bolas, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, so there's a lot of subtle changes from... And of course, the big one being the dragons going from being normal legendary dudes to becoming these elder dragon legends. What do you think about the elder dragon legends?
I'm with Dave that I don't really understand what that means, other than they're really old.
And yeah, mechanically, it really doesn't make a change, right?
Right, because you can have your commander can be anything that is a legendary creature, and it doesn't have to be an elder dragon like it used to be, so that doesn't mean anything.
There's only 5 other elder dragons in the game. I have to imagine it was just done for flavor reasons, to kind of show that they're not alternate versions of the same dragons we saw in Fate Reforged. They're actually older versions of the same dragons.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think they really wanted it to be clear that this isn't... Because, you know, like the Khans are parallel universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the Khans, it's a parallel timeline thing. But for the dragons, this is just the same timeline in the future.
Right.
So I guess maybe they're trying to accomplish a clear split between those two phenomenon, so that we weren't confused that they might be alternate timeline dragons. But the time travel, moving forwards in time with a lot of these cards is really a fascinating phenomenon. And I think the elder tag on these dragons is meant to convey that, especially because there's 15 other dragon creatures and dragons in the artwork. There's, as we talked about on the last episode, there's dragons everywhere. So it helps to, even though they're named Dragon Lord, it really helps to identify these five as the kind of leaders of the broods, so to say.
Yeah.
But
it's cool. I think the flavor is really nice, and it's
I like
anytime Magic history gets brought back into the game. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think looking at the parallel timeline stuff and looking at the accelerating 1,200 years into the future stuff, I think they did a real good job in design of capturing both of those things.
Yeah.
But there's one place where I'm not quite as convinced they did such a bang up job, and I'm not 100% sure here, but on first impression, I'm a little disappointed in Megamorph.
Yeah.
This was, of course, the mechanic that started the whole time travel thing, right? So when they designed the block, it starts out as a set that's going to be a small set sandwiched by two large sets. The small set is going to be drafted only with each large set, and the two large sets never get drafted together. That's the premise. So they figure this out in exploratory design. And they go back and they say, all right, well, we need a mechanic that we can use to reflect this. And the mechanic they settle on becomes Morph. And the idea being that what we learned was manifest in Fate Reforged when Ugin was still alive. Manifest was the proto-Morph mechanic. It was the mechanic from which Morph evolved in the Khanza Tarkir timeline. And then now that we have the Dragons of Tarkir timeline, we have Megamorph, which is essentially the exact same thing as Morph, except your creatures get a +1/+1 counter on them when they're turned face up. And I guess the implication from a flavor perspective is that without Ugin, no one could really harness the power of Morph. But at least the dragons were able to harness it one power and one toughness better.
You know, than
the cons were.
That wasn't my impression. My impression was that the difference between Megamorph and Morph is that when the dragon survived, the people who used dragon magic were forced to become stronger, like kind of the survival of the fittest. So without the dragons, they didn't have these big old creatures they had to compete with. But now that the dragons are living, they've had 1,500 years of survival of the fittest going on, and only the strongest morph magician wizard people have survived, and that's why they're stronger when they reveal themselves. So that's my impression. I don't think it really has that much to do with its relationship to Ugin. I think it's really an environmental, people are tougher now that the dragons are around kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So kind of a survival of the fittest deal.
Yeah. That's my impression of it.
Sounds right too. It all sounds.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Do you think that the manifest morph, megamorph, trifecta adequately fulfills the time travel flavor?
I mean, without the story behind it, I don't think it makes a lot of sense. but given the story, I think it makes a lot of sense. Like the manifest is a primitive version of dragon magic. And then in the Khanza Tarkir timeline, it's mastered by the clans to become Morph. And then in the Dragons of Tarkir timeline, the dragons survive, and it's mastered by the by the broods. But since the dragons are around, they're all stronger. So, I mean, without that flavor, though, it's really hard to understand how they relate to time travel. Like, they're not on their
right,
face
about time
travel.
Right, like, this could happen without time travel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so you could have just had Manifest and then groups of two different groups of mages, and one group was just stronger, right? And the stronger group manages to come up with Megamorph, and the weaker group just comes up with Morph. So I understand what they were going for, but I agree. I don't think it sells time travel as well as things like the Elder Dragons and the Khan, the parallel timeline Khans.
I also think Megamorph is a really stupid name. Like, just that's only because, to be that's ridiculed.
Only, you only think that because it is. To be fair, it's a really dumb name.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be quite as dumb if it was like Megamorph X, you know, so like Megamorph 1, Megamorph 2, you know, and the number of counters you get is the number part of the mechanic.
Oh yeah, that'd be exciting.
That would make a little more, like, give it a little more oomph as a mechanic that has Mega in its name. But
Wizards.
Nah, that's all right. I think I'm fine getting paid actual money.
Aw, sick burn. But Dave, think of all the booster boxes you can have for TDL.
I already have too many. I'm not going to be able to use all the cons packs that I have.
I have no more cons. It was great. The last pack of cons that I ever opened is a Siege Rhino was the rare. And I thought of you right away. Like, Dave would have loved this card.
Dude, it's a great card. Like, it's hard not to play it.
I mean, in a red deck.
Well, you'll just have to hope that they all contain Siege Rhinos, I guess.
Yeah, that's all right. I just won't open them. I'll sell them to Hunter, somebody who likes.
Yeah, I was going to say, Hunter will take them for some wacky drafting in the future, I'm sure.
I don't know, is anybody going to miss cons of Turkey?
I loved cons. I loved triple cons. I think that was one of the more interesting draft formats that I've ever participated in. I really enjoyed it. So, Morph is great. I wish Morph was in every set.
Yeah, Morph is pretty awesome.
Are you guys going to try out drafting all three sets and ignoring the advice?
No. Not unless Team Draft League's next season is all ignoring the advice, because who has the time to play that much
Magic? Exactly. Yeah, who has the time to play fake Magic formats? I guess Commander players do, but other than that,
I think a lot of people are actually going to have the time to experiment with this.
Yeah, it's true. I play with too many spiky jerks. Who aren't actually jerks, but they're definitely spiky.
Are you guys a little sad that Team Draft League for this season is only like 2 months long instead of 3 months long? Do you wish you had more time for Fate Reforged cons drafting?
No, I actually haven't enjoyed Fate Reforged cons that much. I mean, it's okay, but I'm pretty happy that it's over.
So you're looking forward to Fate Reforged and Dragons of Tarkir?
No, I'm looking forward to not being on the plane of Tarkir anymore. As soon as that's over, I'm just looking. The change of it is going to be more interesting than having to play more Fate Reforged cons. But I don't really like the flavor of this block. It's not very fun creatively. It's not very interesting to me, and that's a huge portion of why I like playing something. So it just feels, I don't know, it doesn't feel right to me. So I don't like it that much. But I'm still very, very excited about all the upcoming sets, and hopefully they'll be awesome.
Pretty good. What about you, Dave? Are you looking forward to some Dragons of Tarkir Fate Reforged drafts?
I mean, it seems kind of dirtily.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I won't complain that there are new cards to play.
Yeah. Definitely new cards are always at least a little bit exciting for a limited beginning. Oh, shit. I just killed myself. there is something. I actually like the art quite a bit in the set. There's some really weird cards. I just bought my first piece. My first actual Magic painting. What the hell is he called? The dragon, the goblin that's feeding the dragons, like himself.
Oh, the Dragon Lord servant.
Yeah. I didn't buy the one that Steve Prescott did. I bought the one that Carl Frank, I think that's his name, that he did.
The promo version?
Yeah, the promo version, because I like it better, because he looks like really horrified that he's feeding a dragon himself, or like his brother. And, $600, not bad.
Did you get an artist proof with it, or just the just the print?
No, I got the actual painting.
Oh, the actual
painting. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's
congratulations.
And I interviewed him for my article on Monday, and it's awesome. And it's a little bit different because he scanned it, and he scanned in his painting. He does all his sketches digitally, and then like projects him onto a canvas or whatever it's painted on, and then he scans the painting, and he moved the dragon, like his face around, so it would fit in the card better. So the painting is different than the, I'll be the only person who gets to have this version of the art on that card, which is also an alternate art thing. So I feel of snobby and awesome about it. like very special. But yeah, I really like that art because I like, I just, there's so much feeling and character in it.
You're going to own a parallel universe version of that artwork.
Yeah, right. Very fitting.
You'll have the only, you'll have the only one to finish the time travel discussion.
Yeah.
So yeah, excited. So the pre-release for Dragon Tark here is coming up next weekend, and I won't be there because I don't play Magic anymore, and I suspect Matt won't be there because he hates pre-releases.
I'm leaving Paris on Sunday, so I'm not.
Oh, right, Matt leaves for Paris on Sunday, so this may be the last time listeners get to hear your lovely voice for a month.
Hear me bitching about Magic cards.
Right. So good luck. Good luck with your art show, Matt.
Thanks, dude.
And we look forward to hearing all about it when you get back. So in the meantime, Dave and I will hold down the fort with Dragons of Tarkir. Pro Tour coming up in a few weeks, and then we'll shift gears into Modern Masters. That's all I've got for this week. So if somebody could find a parallel universe where I know how to turn my stream off, that would be great. No? Nothing?
Hey Guardians, thanks for tuning in to the Doom Travelers podcast. You can find more at doomtravelers.com or follow at Doom Travelers on Twitter for show updates and other nonsense. Make sure to subscribe to Hipsters TV on YouTube for videos of our previous episodes, and don't forget that you can find audio-only versions of the Doom Travelers podcast on iTunes. For your host, Rich Stein, and Matt the Obliterator Jones, I'm David Bones McCoy. See you next time.